All right, guys, welcome back to the Travis Jones Show. My name's Liam, as always. I'm joined with Trav. And today, mate, we're talking about sales. Now, you weren't always that good at sales, were you, back in the day?
I was terrible. Rewind back 16 years ago when I first started as a personal trainer, I was probably one of the worst salespeople, but times have changed, and so has my confidence and competence in sales.
So back in the day, I remember you used to say, like, you'd have someone for like a free session or free trial, and then at the end of the session, you'd be like, all right, see you later, Julie. Like, and then just secretly like think, oh, I hope Julie like rings me back, you know? And that's so different to the way you are now. I think a lot of people think that you're very forward with sales, but you always talk about that's because you want to change their life, right? What changed for you?
I think there's a couple of things that changed, man. I think, yeah, like literally at the end of sales conversations back then, or, you know, training sessions back then, it wasn't even a sales conversation. I was like, oh, I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to keep training, just reach out. And obviously I didn't even know if they had my number. So maybe they reached out, maybe they didn't. So my close ratio was very low because they didn't even want to close, because I think for me, I had this fear of rejection. We all have some fear of rejection, but I had a larger fear of rejection because I wanted everyone to like me. You know, as we all do, some people are more people pleased, and that was me definitely as well. So I didn't want them to say no, because to me that was like, oh, they didn't like me. I had to overcome that own bullshit to say, no, I need to ask for the sale, because that means I can only help them if they buy from me. And I had to get over my fear of rejection. They're not rejecting me personally. They're rejecting the service that I am offering. So it's detaching that emotion of my identity, that if they don't buy, that they're not buying me. My identity is not this business. They're just not buying the business. And I think as soon as I detach my identity from the sale, as soon as I attach my emotions of the sale, and it's like, no, I'm just trying to solve problems. And if they're not ready for me to solve their problems, that's okay. Next person. I think as soon as I detach that emotion, sales changed.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool way to look at it. And I think a lot of people come to us and say, oh yeah, I just feel icky and I don't want to feel too pushy. How do you get around that mindset around like, yeah, being pushy but not too pushy?
I think what you got to look at, man, is, you know, you have to be virtuous. You have to understand the character traits that are going to take you to, you know, where you want in life. And I sort of did a video earlier today. It's like being the hero version of yourself, or the victim version of yourself. Now, if we're looking at this and we start to look at the hero version of yourself, and you are being authentic, meaning you are the author of your story, you can write the story of the hero. The hero faces challenges and overcomes them. The hero wants the best for someone, even if there's resistance from them. So, because they know that the path that they are going to take them down is the best path for them. So, you know, if you look at any movie, sometimes, you know, someone doesn't want to do something with the hero. It's like, no, you have to do it. And they sort of force them to come through. Whereas the victim, they start to blame, they start to make excuses, and they start to, you know, have denial. I don't even want to make the sale, or blame. It's like, oh no, they didn't make the sale because it was a bad lead. Or when we're looking, it's like when they're making excuses, oh, it just wasn't the right time, they didn't have the money. Whatever excuses you want to create and justify to yourself, you know, that's being a victim. And I think if you are being authentic and you are the author of your story, it's like, no, like, I'm writing this story. The hero's version of myself fights to change lives, and I can only change their life if they come with me. Now, if you start to have that mindset around sales, it's like, yeah, yeah, like, you're not pushy. You're trying to save someone's life. And it's not, I don't normally say to the staff anymore, it's like, how many sales conversations you made. It's like, one, it's like, how many life-changing conversations have you made today, and how many problems did you solve? Because you were just solving problems. And if you solve the problem the right way, then the next evolution or the next stage of the problem solving is then buying your product. And that's completely fine. But if you go into the consultation, it's like, I'm going to sell this person. I'm going to get the money out of them. Well, you're not being authentic anyway. You're only authentic if you're essentially going, I'm here to serve my purpose. And if my purpose is to try and change lives, I'm going to try and find out exactly where the person is hurting. And then I'm going to see where the person wants to be. I'm going to try and find out the problem that is holding them back from getting from the pain to the pleasure. And I'm going to help craft a solution to get them there. Now, if they like what the solution I have crafted, then they will take me up on my offer and we can do business together so I can change their life.
Yeah, it's like the strategy of preeminence, right? Which Jay Abraham talks about, which is, yeah, it's like being your role as a business owner is to be like the trusted advisor and to tell people what they need to do to solve their problem. Like it's like in a doctor will never be like, all right, someone comes in with a cold or a flu or like a viral infection or a bacterial infection. The doctor's not going to be like, all right, well, I've got this product, it's antibiotics. You know, I should sell it to them. I should give it to them. But you know, I don't want to appear too pushy. Like that just doesn't exist with doctors. Like doctors are like, no, this is what you need to do to get rid of the infection. Here it is. Here's how much it is. Go and pay for it at the counter. And it's like, they don't even think twice, right? But it's the same thing. That is still a sales process. But in our society, it doesn't seem like a sales process.
It's exactly the same. You diagnose a problem and then you prescribe a solution. Now, when it is a cold, people want to get out of that as fast as they possibly can because they aren't familiar with the cold. Okay, this is the crucial thing. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this cold coming to my life. I want to get it out as soon as I possibly can because I feel like absolute shite. So it's like, what's the diagnosis? What's the prescription? I'll do it. The problem is just like, you know, you buy a brand new car. Okay, you buy a brand new car and this brand new car, you park it away from other cars because you don't want your car getting scratched. And then after 6 months, it has a scratch. And then 6 more months, it has a couple of scratches. And it's not a new car. You don't care for it the same anymore. It's just a car. Now, this is familiarity. The problem is if you're talking to people who are overweight, they didn't all of a sudden wake up one day and they're like 30 kilos overweight. What the fuck? I want to get out of it. If they did, I'll tell you, selling them would be easy as fuck.
Yes.
Right? So it'd be like, hey, bitch, let's go. Because all of a sudden, like, they are so uncomfortable, right?
That'd be really tough all of a sudden.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden, I've got zero energy. Like, I've got zero energy. I'm 30 kilos overweight. I can't fit in any of my clothes. I'm currently wearing a muumuu. I don't know what to do. And you're like, okay, well, I'll tell you what to do. I'll get this 12-week transformation. Here's $20,000. They're like, give it to me because I don't know what just happened to my life. Like, it didn't happen like that. So they became familiar with their weight over time. So because it's not a cold, which is a doctor, so we actually get that solution, we grab it straight away, and we just want to get out of the pain, because they became familiar with this pain, because they became familiar with this mediocre life, because they became familiar with having low energy, because they became familiar with just not feeling confident with themselves, their life is like at a low point right now. And they don't even know what it's like to have a high state environment, have fantastic energy, look in the mirror and go, you sexy motherfucker. Like they don't feel that. Mm. So because they don't feel it, they won't just buy it to get it back. Because you have to breathe life into their goals. You need to inspire them. They go, no, I can actually achieve that. And that's your goal as a coach or as a salesperson, as a problem solver, is to breathe life into their dreams so they truly believe it is possible.
Yeah, so like, what does that look like? Because like most fit pros have never been overweight, right? Like some of them have become fit pros because they were overweight. They had an incredible transformation and they've just done what you've said. They're like, oh my God, this feels amazing. Like I wake up and I actually like can get out of bed easily. And like, yeah, you don't know what you don't know. But yeah, most fit pros have never been overweight. So, you know, they look at sales. Like I know I used to look at sales. It's just been like, dude, like, what are you doing? Just join the gym, do this program. Like it'll fix you. And then people are like, no, I'm not sure. And I think it's because, well, they've tried so many things in the past already, right? Like everything they've tried has failed. So like what makes this going to be any different? Like they're sick of failure.
I think a couple of things, man, like you said before, like the trusted advisor, the whole strategy preeminence, you have to be giving value. You have to be sharing content. You have to show, if you can, some form of before and afters, if that's what you do, is transformations, because all these things gain credibility. You know, you buy from those who you trust and you trust those who educate you. And if you have this credibility of these, you know, previous people who've done this step-by-step system and you have proven results, obviously trust goes up again. If you are honest and authentic, if you're passionate, people want to be around those people who are passionate, because passion inspires people, right? Because they're like, I want to be around this state of energy more and more and more, because it makes you feel good. They're like, with this person, I'm going to feel like I'm unstoppable. Now, you have to think to yourself, it's like, oh, do I have to be in a high state when selling? Yes, you do. Now you like go, oh, but I'm just not good at sales. It's like, trust me, man. Like if you're a dad or a mom, or if you've ever had a girlfriend, like you're good at sales because you sold yourself, right? Like for me, like I'm married. I had to sell myself to live, and not in some form of prostitution way. I literally had to sell the fact that the idea of being with me, this tattooed guy who swears too much, instead of going to Europe where she wanted to go, was a better outcome. Now, I had to sell myself on how I would like care for her, essentially, and I had to show her. So it's preeminence, like showing her before it actually happened. I had to be honest with her. I had to be vulnerable with her. And this is what you guys have to do as well. I had to have integrity. I had to have respect her. And if you can, like, this is sales, like these character traits, right? Mm. So if you can think about, like, how did you win your wife, or how did you win your girlfriend, it's all the same. And you're just not trying to sell them into like getting married the first time you meet them. That's one of the biggest problems as well. It's like, no, you sell them into a coffee. You sell them into a glass of wine. You sell them into a conversation. And then all of a sudden you can sell them, once you've had that conversation, into a bigger conversation and create a bigger commitment with you and your business. So I think that's one of the other biggest things that people have. One, think about the character traits. Two, think about sales is everything. So if you don't think you're good at sales, like trust me, you are. You just aren't confident in selling the business of fitness maybe at the moment. But if you like resonate back to, when have you been good at sales? Like, when did you get your own way? When did you influence someone to do what you wanted to do? And when I look with Jax, like the kids, right? It's like, I'm selling them to eat the foods that I want them to eat all the time, or I'm selling them when I want to go to bed, like when I want them to go to bed. Like everything is some form of persuasion. Everything is some form of sales. And if you can influence them, that's what it's all about. And I think true sales also is this. Everyone comes out of this agreement. It's like any type of influence, they come out of the agreement with a mutual win. Okay. So it's like, you're not trying to rip someone off. It's like, no, they won because you just charged them to change their life, and you won because you're getting money. Okay. That's great. So it's always a mutual win. It doesn't matter if you're selling fitness or selling something else. It's always both parties need to win.
Yeah, I think what you talked about before with the guys, like finding something that you've sold in the past, like, yeah, whether it is like a date with your wife or whatever, like it's always the case. It's like if someone's been able to get their way, it's because they had confidence in what they were talking about, right? And so like, I think that's like just a major thing that people forget about, like, because there's all these different sales scripts and all this sort of stuff that you can go through, which are really important, right? But at the end of the day, if you're not confident in what you're doing, like... Yeah, if you went over to Liv in the UK and said, oh, you know, Liv, you know, I kind of was wondering if, you know, like you wanted to move back to Australia and get married with me, but, you know, if you don't want to, it's okay. Like, you know, like you were confident, right? You were just like, no, like we met. No,
this is what's happened. Yeah, like this is what's happening. This is what our life is going to look like, and I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, and that led her to believe in you because you inspired her, and she's like, yes, I want to be a part of this. And like, it seems ridiculous to talk about like relationships and stuff with sales, but the parallels are crazy, right? My ex-business partner and I used to talk about it all the time, like how, yeah, like literally, if you are confident in yourself and your product, like, doesn't really matter what you say to the person. It's just have a conversation, display that confidence and display that charisma, and you'll be able to get it over the line. But like, how do we get that confidence and charisma if we've never been good at it? Like that's a hard question, right?
And that's the biggest thing, man. Like I think for you, we're looking at two things. One, increasing your competence in what you do, because if you think like I'm a baller, like I get results, and you've never done sales before, right? you're just great at what you do. So because you can articulate your message clear enough, and because you can get across the line that you are, you can get results, and you are so confident in results, well, the sales take care of itself, right? We've had salespeople that have no idea what we do really. They can still make the sale because they're so confident in their sales ability. But if you're so confident in your ability to change lives, that translates across to sales as well. Then it comes down to competence at sales, right? So then it comes down to like the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour. I reckon I've had like 10,000 sales conversations over my last 16 years. I kid you not, across the 15 gyms that we have at the moment, like, you know, we make, how many sales do we make a month? It's like 40 sales per month across the 15 gyms. You make about, what's that, like 600 sales a month?
Yeah.
Right. And that's every single month we make these sales. So we're doing about 7,200 sales every single year with RBT at the moment, training these staff. And Malcolm Gladwell says it takes 10,000 hours to get mastery at like playing the piano or doing your mastering your craft. And I'm not saying you need to get to that, but if you get there, like, you will be a gangster salesperson, right? But for me, it's putting in the hours of deliberate practice, not just practice, because that's the difference. It's like so many people, they don't put in the hours of conversations. They put in like maybe some hours of dialing. But it's like, it's not just making the dial. So it's like when we're looking at, I think it was Kobe Bryant, right? He's like 500 shots a day over an off season growing up or something of that nature. And it wasn't just, he didn't just take 500 shots. So he doesn't want to just shoot for the basket. He made them. So it's not taking it, it's making the shot. And that is the deliberate practice. So instead, if you're not good at sales and you're outside your comfort zone, you need deliberate practice in actually having the sales conversation. So you're like, you know what? I know sales is life. I know that if I get great at sales, I'll get great and have everything I want in life, whether it be the wife, the business, the kids, everything like that. Like, sales is life. So I'm making my mission to be great at sales. And if you work for someone else and you're great at sales and you sell yourself into the promotion, like, that's how it works, right? So you go, I'm going to make deliberate practice to have two sales conversations every single day. I'm going to try and solve these people's problems. I'm going to try and provide my business as the solution to their problem. And it doesn't matter if it's only like, we look at like a 20-mile march. I'll bring in many analogies right now, that it's like this 20-mile march. Every single day you have this, I'm going to do 2 to 3 sales conversations every single day of my life for the next year, or 5 days a week for the next year. So over the next year, you're doing 10 to 15 sales conversations. You're having 500 to 750 sales conversations over the next year. I'll tell you what, you do that for 1 year and you do that for 2 years. At the end of that second year, you've had over 1,000 conversations. That's at least, we're looking at, you know, probably about 1,000 to 1,500 conversations. You're looking at least 1,000 hours to 1,500 hours of sales right now. You can then start charging higher, because if you aren't good at sales right now, then your ability to influence someone to pay you a high ticket price is not the highest. So what I tell most people is, as you don't have the confidence or competence in yourself in sales, just drop your price on the front end just a little bit, and then allow your, after your paid trial, you can, you know, upsell them into a higher price after that. But at the start, just drop it down a little bit, get the confidence, get some momentum, get those wins, do that deliberate practice, sell them for like, you know, $100 for 28 days or 21 days, whatever it is. Just get the wins on the board, because as you're getting the wins on the board, as you get the 2 sales a day, all of a sudden now it's like 110. Now it's like 120, now it's like 130, and you keep bumping the price for that front end paid trial, because all of a sudden, like, you are having so much confidence and you're increasing your competence in sales.
Yeah, it's funny, like, after you do like 1,000 phone conversations or in-person consultations, it's funny because not only do you get good at sales, but then you start to know exactly what people are going to say when you ask them questions. Like, it's just impossible to not see the correlation and the patterns. Like, people literally all have the same deep fears and frustrations around, like, you know, how they look in front of their kids, or like fitting into a certain type of dress or something like that. And it's awesome, because you can then use that in your marketing. You just literally just take what these 1,000 people have told you on the phone when they've revealed their deepest, darkest thoughts and desires, and then you just put that into advertising, and it just works incredibly well.
I think one thing I'd get someone to do, if you like, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to make sales. I don't believe in sales, whatever the stories you're going to tell yourself, right? That will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say, I can't make sales, the leads are bad, then you can't make sales and the leads are bad. So stop telling yourself these bullshit stories and start telling yourself these empowering stories. Like, I'm a problem solver and I'm a, you know, a vehicle for change, and I'm here to change as many lives as I can. And that starts being solving two problems every single day. But what I want you to do, anyone listening, is like write a list of like, what if you do solve this person's problem and they do take up your product, which is your front end offer or your program, whatever it is, I want you to write down a list of 10 things that's going to happen to their life because they actually made the decision to come with you. And they might have increased energy. They might start making more money because they have more confidence work. They might find the girl of their dreams. They might get pregnant. That's happened so many times. People have joined up our gym. They've lost weight and they've got pregnant. You're literally helping them create life. Like, this list of 10 things, write 20, write 30, whatever it is, like, make this massive list. And you're like, okay, if I solve this person's problem well enough, this is what I'm going to do for them. I'm literally changing the trajectory of their life. Now, I want you to write down a list of the 10 to 20 to 30 things that will happen if they don't buy. Because if they don't buy from you, they might try the lemon detox diet, and all of a sudden they yo-yo diet again. They start to, you know, feel self-loathing. They start to not get that raise, but they feel even worse. They have to buy a dress size even bigger or pants size even bigger. They don't see the next. They don't see summer until 2026 because they're too afraid to go out in summer. You know, they lose their partner because they start arguing more because they don't feel good about themselves. Like, all these things can happen. All these things can happen if you don't solve their problems and help them understand that your product is the vehicle to help them get a better life. Now, if you look at these two things before you jump on the call, and it's like, am I going to let them have a lower quality of life? Yes or no? Am I going to let my limitations on life being, oh, I'm just not good at sales, affect this person's life? Or I'm going to get out of my own bullshit stories and go, no, I don't care. I don't have a fear of rejection. I know I'm here to change this person's life. I'm looking at all the great quality things that I am going to do for this person. You could even pretend you're called, like, you've had a couple of great transformations with some of your clients. Pretend it's like, have a look at the testimonials that you've changed, and you've changed Julie's life, and you changed Sally's life, and you changed Bob's life, and you've had these testimonials, and watch these, and it's like, that's what this call is about. This call is the step one to changing someone's life. And if I don't make 2 sales a day, I am not living in integrity with my purpose and my mission. And if you're out of integrity, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's your moral obligation, right, to help these people.
Right.
Like, when you look at it like that, it's like, yeah, we'll stop making excuses about the leads and about... Like, that's the other thing that drives me crazy. Like, it's like someone's put in their name, they've read your ad or your promotion, or they've seen your flyer, and they've given you their name, their email number, and their and your phone number. And then you're telling me that, no, they were a bad lead, they didn't want to transform. Like, that is the biggest load of bullshit ever. Like, they've seen your ad and they basically said, I am not happy with where I am and I want to change. I want this. And then, sure, when you get on the phone with them, they're going to come up with some kind of story. That's human nature. Like, to be like, oh, you know, push back. Like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, it's your moral obligation to be like, Julie, I know it's a bit concerning. I know I sound like a little bit like a Indian telemarketer, like trying to like get your money to send to my Kenyan uncle. But I'm not. I'm here to genuinely help you. And like, then they'll calm down and then they'll relax. And you'll realize, yeah, that there's no excuses out there for like, closing leads into sales.
There isn't, man. Like, I was reading something earlier and I just pulled it up from Abraham Maslow, and he's like, this is the truest thing that I've read for a while. It's like, what one can be, one must be. Like, and if you just think about it for a second, what one can be, one must be. Musicians make music. Artists must paint. Poets must write. If they're ultimately to be at peace with themselves, what human beings can be, they must be. They must be true to their own nature. This need we may call self-actualization. It refers to the man's desire for self-fulfillment, namely to the tendency for him to become actually in what his potential is. So I look at this, and when I read that, and everyone probably listening to me going, this guy's on a rant and he's crazy, but I read this, it inspires, it's like, what one can be, one must be. Like, what can I achieve? Like, I can change 10,000 lives with fitness. I can achieve me, like, you know, if we want to achieve like hundreds of fit pros that we're going to help achieve their potential in their business, they can change more lives. Like, if I don't make the sales phone call, and if I don't solve the problem, if I don't get over my own shit, I'm not achieving my potential in life, because I, like, what one can be, one must be. Now, how do you do that? You get over your shit and you move forward, and you know that life is uncomfortable, and the higher the greatness that you want to achieve, the more of the hero you want to become, the hero's journey of your novel. Heroes and the greatest heroes have the largest summits they must climb. They have the biggest villains, the biggest, you know, essentially challenges. They have these huge challenges. If you just want to change 10 people's lives, like, cool, like, you're a hero, fantastic, but the challenge isn't that big, so it's not that hard. You want to change 200 lives? Okay, that's a challenge. Now, who do you need to be? Because what one can be, one must be. Who do you need to be today? Like, do you need to be the person that overcomes your stuff, and you do those two calls a day of deliberate practice, you solve those people's problems, you get over your bullshit of people rejecting you, you get over your thing that you must be liked, you start putting content out, you start becoming a trusted advisor, you start communicating with people, you reach out to your members and ask for referrals, because what you can be, you must be. And if you can change 200 lives, you must change 200 lives. Otherwise, you'll be in this void of unfulfillment, lost for the rest of your life, because you are not living to your potential. And we're looking at, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like, as soon as you, like, got a roof over your head, you got some money in your bank, right? And you don't need a lot of money. You have to move towards what you must be in life. Now, if you're not moving towards that, then you're going to be unfulfilled, and you're going to be sitting there like a victim going, oh, I don't know what I want to do. It's like, I'll tell you what you can do. You can get on the phone and you can change someone else's life, because the best gift is changing. The best gift is giving. And you know what you give to someone when you sell them into your program? You give them the gift of a better life. So stop being a selfish asshole and actually sell someone into your program so you can give the gift of fitness to them, because right now you're being like the Grinch.
Man, I'm so pumped up. I wanted to make some sales now. Let's do it. I want to know from you, like, because you went from not being able to, like, talk to anyone, and then, like, opening your gym and, like, chasing people down in the park and in the shopping center, like screaming at them to sign up to you to RBT. Like, for you, like, was it like an overnight shift? Was it like something like that you just realized, or was it like little stepping stones? Like, what was like your story around that?
I believe that you have to constantly be testing your comfort zone. If you're not trying to do something that makes you uncomfortable every single day, and I know people say this, and some people roll their eyes right now. It's like, oh, I've heard this before. It's like, yeah, because it's true. Do something that's uncomfortable every single day, and you're going to expand your comfort zone, and you're going to, like, the further you expand this comfort zone, the higher your potential is, right? So for me, I was in a gun to the head scenario, right? That's the difference. You know, most people make enough sales to get them just enough out of pain, okay? So they make just enough money so they can just pay their bills, and then they can bitch about how they're always fucking broke. Right? It's because they make just enough. And that's the difference. So what happened is, for me to make just enough when I was living in Canada, I had to get out of my own comfort zone. And I was like, I got sacked from my job working at a gym because I was running a competing boot camp. I was working at Good Life, a big national chain. And I had like 8 females out there and in a park doing a females boot camp. And they said, you were fired because you were running a competing business. And I was like, guys, thanks for your belief in me and my ability to compete with 190 gyms, but all right then. And I left, and I was like, I need to grow this business to 100K, because that's what my bills are. How do I do it? Well, I'll go and stereotype because our market and marketing says stereotyping. Females are in the mall. I'm going to the mall. I'm going to talk to females. So I talked to 400 females in the mall, kind of illegal because you need to pay to do stuff there. And I didn't. I just started walking up to females. I asked them three questions. It was like, are you a member of a gym? What was your goals when you started? And, you know, did you achieve them? And I said, if you answer these three questions, you win 2 weeks of personal training. And 300 females literally told me to fuck off. Now, if you get rejected, it took me like 5 to 6 days to get this done. If you get rejected 300 times in 5 to 6 days, like you get over your own bullshit really fast. 100 females said yes. 80 females turned up for this 2 week trial and I kept 40 of them into it. And like, I needed to make the money to live. And I think if you have this scenario, then like, and you have this sort of gun to your head scenario, it's like, you got to do it because you got to pay the bills. One of two things happens. You step up to the plate and you swing for, you know, you swing for the fences, right? Or you crumble under the pressure and you go get a job somewhere else. Hmm. And that's okay. Cause not everyone is built to swing for the fences. Not everyone is. But I tell you right now, if you're trying to be the hero and the author of your life, that's the person who swings for the fences, because you're writing your own journey as the hero. The victim will go, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. If you say it's impossible, it is impossible for you, but someone else has done it. So it's not impossible, okay? It's just impossible because that's what you think. You are. It's impossible for you, for your life, with your current competency, with your current confidence. So if you change that shit, anything is possible. And that's the same thoughts that I talking to RBT. I knew that I needed to pay my bills. So I walked out to the park and I talked to 20 new people every single day, 100 people every single week. And I did it for like the first 3 months. I did it for 3 months, offering free 28 days of training. Just kept doing it. So I offered 1,200 people free training over the first 3 months of RBT. Then I was like, oh my gosh, I need to learn how to fucking market. But then like, but up to that point, like I literally give zero fucks about what anyone thinks about me anymore, because I pushed through the threshold of caring, because my ability to want to help overcomes my ability to care about what people think about me. I'll be at a restaurant with Liv and someone will walk past and I'll just strike up a conversation. I'll be in the lift and I'll talk to someone. I'll be in the cafe and I'll offer someone training. It's so funny. Like, we're out to dinner the other night with Liv and this girl walks, like, we're at this pizza place and this girl walks out of the house, which literally was next door. So I just walk out the front and I was in Perth and this, I go, hey, can you come over here for a second? And she walks over. I was like, do you find it really hard to focus on your health and fitness goals living next to this pizza place? Because it's so good. She's like, she just laughed. She thought I was crazy. And she's like, yeah, I don't know. I was like, you currently train? She's like, no, I'm not training at the moment. I was like, do you want a month free at RBT? I'll give you 28 days of training. She's like, really? I was like, 100%. I gave her a card and I got her number and I got the guys to give her a free month of training. Now, everyone else thought I was trying to hit on a girl. It's like, no, I'm just trying to change your life. Because every minute of the day is an opportunity for you to change someone's life. If you choose to essentially trade that minute, because every minute's trading a minute, if you choose to trade that minute to change someone's life, you can. And it's just up to you. I don't mind. I know what my journey is. And do you know, if you don't know what your journey is, like, write that down. Where could you be in 10 years if you stopped becoming a victim? Where could you be in 10 years if you got over your own shit? Where could you be in 10 years if you became the hero and you picked up the phone and you did the deliberate practice? Where could you be if you understood you're a problem solver, not a product seller? Where could you be if you detached the emotion from the sale and understand it's just going through the motions, okay, and actually getting people into your business to change their life? If they say no, that's okay, because the next person probably would say yes. You know, where could you be if you started being more authentic and the author? Where could you be if you lived at a higher state? Okay, where could you be if you just had a script? Where could you be if you kept accountable to someone and they just kept you on track? Like, where could you be if you fought to change someone's life? Like, where could you be? I think, where could you be if you actually overcame objections because you realize that's their fear coming up because you're trying to push them outside their comfort zone. Where could you be if you overcome their fear and actually showed them that you cared? Where could you be if you became the trusted advisor to them? Like, if you did this stuff, you could be anywhere.
Man, I know I've said this before, but like, I think it's so important to repeat, and because it summarizes exactly what you've said, because you said when you were trying so hard to make money in your gym, in your first gym, like you really couldn't make money. And then as soon as you change to, I'm not trying to make money, I'm trying to serve as many people as possible. Like, that's when it's like, well, if I'm trying to serve as many people as possible, I might as well go talk to as many people. Like, it just shifts like your focus completely. And so like, that's when you said, as soon as you change that, like that's when you started making more money than you ever had in fitness. And I think like, it's not just Trav, like for everyone listening now, like obviously we do coaching with Fit Pros, and there's three like main keys we see in the difference between Fit Pros that grow their business to six figures and to $1 million. And one of the first shifts that every single successful gym owner has is having that mindset to serve. Like, we've never seen anyone of our clients own a $1 million business that has a mindset of like, I just care about money. Like, every single client that we've made millionaires have always changed their mindset from focus on money to focus on serving. And that's just like one of the keys, guys. And so obviously we've got three shifts that we take people through. That's the first shift. We teach people how to do that. If you want to learn how to do the other shifts, if you want our help on actually shifting so you can create a $1 million business, just go to fitproformula.com, www.fitproformula.com. You can just fill in your details there, and Trav and one of the team will have a chat to you and see if you're a good fit. But yeah, Trav, like, I want to ask, like, what are the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to sales? Like, what common things do you see gym owners and fit pros make that make you just go, oh man, like...
They try and sell the plane and not the island. It's like, oh yeah, we do two sessions a week. It's so good. I'm going to give you this nutrition plan. It's like, guys, like, they aren't buying your sessions. They're buying the body transformation. They don't give a fuck if you do no sessions. They don't care if they'd prefer if they did no sessions actually, and they got a pill. Like, stop trying to sell your services. Start trying to sell the results. And if you can't get results, like, learn how to get results. Like, that's a crucial thing, because, you know, otherwise you're out of integrity with your sales. Unless you're literally like, I have no clue how to help you, but I'm going to be a really good friend for you two times a week when you come and train with me, and I'll be the best friend you have. And if that's what you do, it's like, don't call yourself a gym, call you like findamate.com or something like that, because like, that's what they're paying you for. So if you can get results, if you get people stronger, if you get people fitter, if you get people, you know, losing fat, like, sell that result, because people will pay twice as much for the island as the plane. And once you get them in, okay, this is another thing that people stuff up all the time. They're like, oh, there's people coming into my area at like $50 a week. I need to start charging $45. It's like, no, like, you do not do that. Do not start being the cheapest guy in the area, because I, like, if I gave you a $5 PDF, on how to grow a $1 million business, or how to, you know, get down to 7% body fat, whatever the hell you want to do, it was $5, and I charge you $5,000 for that same PDF. The $5 one, you might not even open from your computer. I'll tell you, like, how many products have you bought? And it's like, I didn't even open that. It was like $7. They got me with a tripwire. And it's like, but instead, if it's like $5,000, you literally download it, you will print it out, you'll probably frame it, and you'll carry it in your bag. Because it's like, this is the blueprint to life. It's like the almanac from like Back to the Future. It's going to tell me how I'm going to get where I need to be. Like, this is giving me the secrets. Because the more someone pays you, the more they take you seriously, the more they would adhere, the higher their discipline. And isn't that what we want at the end of the day? People who are just highly disciplined, who make a joke of what we're trying to do. It's like, no, we're taking you seriously. I'm going to become highly disciplined because I value what you say, and what you are charging me hurts my back pocket just enough that I'm like, ooh, I don't want to waste this. Or instead, are you trying to charge enough? It's like, oh, well, this is the cheapest in the area until the next cheapest comes along. Okay? Like, don't do that. Make yourself a commodity.
It's like with anything, right? Like, anything we buy, like cars or like clothes, like, it's like, you, if you're a car dealership and you're selling cars for a dollar, Like, no one's going to buy those cars. Like, people are
what's wrong with
you? Yeah, exactly. People are going to go back and you'd be like, but I'm the cheapest in the area. Like, I've got the cheapest cars. Like, oh, like it doesn't have to be a dollar. That's too extreme. It can be like $1,000. But it's the same thing. Or it's like if you need a brain surgery and one's brain surgeon is like, it's going to cost $10,000, but I assure you, like, this is what we do. And another guy's like, oh, give me $5 and I'll do it. Like, who are you going to choose? Like, there's no way you're going to give the guy $5, you know, but gym owners think like this. They're just like, oh, people will go to the cheapest place. And it's like, well, they go to the cheapest place now because no one's leading them. No one's telling them what they need to do. So they're just like, oh, I guess I'll just join a 24-hour gym and I'll just, you know, kind of try and lose weight myself, you know, and it doesn't work, obviously. And then they get even more down about themselves.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? I ran another study the other day and it's like about giving hope to people and inspire. Like, what is hope? It's like if you have credibility, it's like your leadership in a team, but it also happens from you to a member and then you to a sales consultation or a problems consultation. Now, with this, if you are not inspiring them and if you are not having like credibility and if you are not trusting, because all those three things create hope. If you're not competent and give them a clear plan of where they are and where they want to be, because that provides hope as well, because now it's like they can see how to get through the forest. If you do those things, you provide hope. Now, someone who is actually providing hope, they get the other person 69% engaged in what they are saying to follow through. If you don't provide hope, meaning you provide hopeless or you are hopeless, okay, they are 1% engaged. 1% engaged, right? So if we're looking at this and we're looking at like Pareto's principle, even in your gym members, right? 20% of your members you provide hope to with all those factors I said before, and they are 69% engaged doing whatever you say. And then there is 20% of your members who are hopeless right now, who need your guidance, who need you to pick them up, who need you to give them certainty, who need the clarity because that precedes change, who need you just to give them hope again because they don't want to be in the 1% because one, they feel lost. Two, they're going to find another gym who's going to provide hope for them. And I think that's so crucial. And the other thing I think people or gym owners I see a lot of the time is like, oh, is that too much for like, you know, it's $2,000 too much for 12 weeks. I was like, I don't know, like, if you're going to change my life and guarantee me results in 12 weeks and drop 10% body fat and make me feel confident and give myself a better sex life. And when I look in the mirror, I feel, you know, fucking sexy. I'm like, you know, $2,000 seems pretty cheap. Like it's like $200 a week. Like it depends. It's all relative, right? Like, you know, the whole dentist and the tooth story, I'll tell you so you can actually get this analogy better. You know, a lady goes to a dentist. Yeah, man, like, this is so cool because all of a sudden it's like light bulb moment when you hear this. It's like a chick has this pain in her tooth. It's throbbing. She says to her friend, oh, my gosh, my tooth is killing me. I don't know what to do. And your friend's like, go to the dentist. So she goes to the dentist and they're like, ma'am, we need to pull your tooth out. And she's like, how much does it cost? And he's like, $500. And she goes, oh, my gosh, how long does it take? And he's like, 1 minute. And she's like, $500 for 1 minute? That's absurd. And he's like, well, I can do it over 60 minutes if you like. And it's like, but how fast do you want to get out of the pain? And it's like, no, 1 minute's okay. And it's like, it's not $500 for the 1 minute. It's $500 for the 4 or 5 year degree he learned how to pull the tooth out in 1 minute. Mm. That's what $500 is for. $500 is for the 4 to 5 year degree that he learnt or she learnt on how to pull the tooth out in 1 minute and get you out of pain and towards pleasure. So $2,000 isn't for the 12 weeks. $2,000 is for the knowledge that you've acquired in your time, creating body transformations that's going to get them out of pain and towards pleasure. You have to just think about that, guys. It's not paying for the time. It's paying for the knowledge, it's paying for the accountability, and it's paying for the result. These people are currently walking through hell. They are upset. They probably don't have sex with the lights on. They literally hate looking at themselves in the mirror, a lot of them, right? When we're looking at weight loss and transformation style training. These people are going through the lowest of the low right now. And if they were more confident and they had more energy and they looked at themselves in the mirror and they're like, you know, like I said before, you sexy beast. Like if they had this, these two lives are polar opposites. You are transforming someone's life. So why would you charge like $30 a week? Like why aren't you charging $200 a week? Like charge more. Oh, everyone else doesn't do that. Okay, be different. I'm sure at one point in time, people weren't charging $50 a week and they were charging 10. There was no one time there wasn't semi-private training. There wasn't one-on-one training. Like be the outlier. Now, like change lives. Be different. Overcome your own stuff. Money isn't evil. Money's pretty cool. It allows you to change lots of lives. And if you go, oh, I don't want that much money, it's like, okay, we'll get more and give it to people who don't have it. Also, money gives you the ability to do all these cool experiences, to have the best quality of life for your family. Like you need to make these sales to only not only change your client's life, but to change your life. And if you don't make the sales and you're currently going through a hard time right now, and you're like, oh, I don't want to overcome this objection, and you've got a wife and you've got kids, what you're saying to yourself internally is your fear of overcoming objections which is your own insecurities. So your own insecurities are bigger than your ability to care about your family and their livelihood. If you change it like that, it's like, oh no, I'm ready to overcome. I'm ready to overcome that because that's you being selfish. Okay, it's time to start moving away from being selfish and caring about your clients more. Overcome their objections. It's caring about your family more. Serve them for them better because you're serving for them as well, right? Serve for them better. Provide security for them. You know, give them the life that maybe you promised or maybe that you want to give. Okay, it's time to step up to the plate and it's time to swing for the fences.
Yeah, man, it's so interesting, right? Like how, especially over the last few years, everyone's seen like the rise of these 24-hour gyms, like in these big corporations that, you know, have a heap of venture capital, like millions and millions of dollars of funding and like loans and all this stuff that the small business just can't compete with. So then they come along and be like, oh yeah, $5 a week for a membership and $7 a week. But then like, RBT charges $80, $90 a week, but your gyms are still full and your gyms are still like everyone's loving them. And it's just like, how is that possible? Well, because RBT sells the transformation, sells the result and gives community. I mean, you can explain it better than me, but like there's a reason why like everyone from RBT hasn't left RBT to go to a 24-hour gym. Like none of your clients and members want to do that.
Like it's, why? Yeah, like gyms are not dying. The world is more obese than ever and Uber Eats is taking over, right? Like you know, at people's fingertips, they can become the most overweight person they could possibly want to become, right? They are walking less. Most people are sedentary, right? They don't even have to go to the shops to get their food anymore. Food's delivered to them. Groceries are delivered to them. A lot of people even work at home. They don't even have to leave their house. Do you know what that means? It means they're overweight. Do you know what that also means? Which is why gyms are not dying and micro gyms definitely won't fucking die anytime soon. People are craving connection more than ever because we are the most connected yet disconnected society that we have ever seen. We are connected so highly through social media, but we don't just crave connection through social. We crave physical touch. We want high fives. We want to give hugs. We want to see our friend in front of us lifting some weight, getting a PB. We want like, everything is dropping that gives physical, you know, connection in an environment that creates people to feel like they're a part of a community. We want to be a part of a tribe.
It's ingrained. We want to be part of a tribe. Human being, right? Human nature. Like none of us want to sit by ourselves in our room, in our house by ourselves. Like no one wants
it. It is human nature to want to be a part of a tribe.
And you and I are introverts as well. So like we do enjoy alone time, but
yeah. But I don't want to go through life not being a part of a tribe. Like, I want to create a tribe of fit pros crushing life. Like, that's a tribe, or a great, you know, 10,000 RBT members who have reached their potential in their physical capacity. Like, that's a tribe. I'm trying to create a movement over here of people actually connecting with each other, not online in some hybrid model. I want to connect people in a physical presence where they come to be a part of the community and I can see them, I can high five them, I can hug them, and I can go, because of us and because we knew that we could change your life, we create a community that you wanted to be a part of. And because of not wanting to see you once a month, but every fucking week, that's how we change your life. Because we know you want to be connected. We know you want to be a part of this community. And we create this community because of you. I don't care how saturated the marketplace is. You know what that means? It means there's a fucking demand for your product. That's market saturation. So all you have to do is you have to get good at what you do and the people will come. Don't just be a good fucking marketer. Be good at providing results. Like, Kevin Costner was right. Build it and they will come. Just be good at what you fucking do, right? Like, that's all you got to do, guys. And trust me, your gyms will be at capacity. But they're not going to be at capacity if you're trying to make a fucking dollar. They'll be at capacity if you care. They'll be at capacity if you actually want to change lives. They'll be at capacity if you're good at what you do. There'll be a capacity if you've actually solved problems. There'll be capacity if you look after your staff. There'll be capacity if you create communities. Like, that's when they'll be at capacity. Not because when you're trying to find the next fucking gimmick to try and sell someone, to try and drain some fucking money out of them. That's when sales go wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like, I say this like that, man, because I'm passionate. So don't get this the wrong way. I am sick and tired of people screwing people over in this industry. We're in an industry that changes lives. We're in an industry that can help people achieve their human potential. So instead of constantly worrying about the buck, start worrying about the lives you can change.
Yeah. Like, as we said, man, like, it's just every single gym that you've coached over the last 5-6 years, like, that has made six figures or has made $1 million. None of them, like, zero of them were, like, focused on money. Like, because we've had a lot of members, like, gyms come to us and go, we want to grow our business. And then we realize, oh, they're only focused on money. How long do they last? They don't last very long. Like, it's, like, undeniable, like, the shift that you need to take. And so, like, what Trav said about, you know, having the list of all the awesome things, like, that you can provide someone, like, you can, you know, allow them to have a baby. You can, like, allow them to have the confidence to, you know, approach a girl and maybe get their very first girlfriend, you know, that allows them to get rid of their diabetes. Like, so many, that's like a really common one, right? Like, if you could say to all these people and go, all right, you just transfer $2,000 and all of this will come true. Of course, they're going to do it. So of course, they're going to pay. And then a thing that people forget is like, oh, do you want to create some like best mates, some people that are like-minded that you see every single week and you actually create a brand new community out of? Like, how much is that worth to you? Because that's what people forget. And like, you listening right now, I guarantee you've got members that have best mates for life because of your gym that never would have created that connection. Like, how many like weddings has RBT caused, like, Trav, like, and babies and like,
weddings and babies and like, it's so amazing, right? Like, you know, your business is changing communities. Like, don't let it go because you're so selfish you can't overcome your own shit to not make sales properly. And I didn't even talk about scripting today because scripting is pretty much fucking irrelevant. Like, you know, get a script. It's like, what's your problem? A, where you want to be? B, awesome, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to change your life. Oh, you know, what's it going to cost? $7 a day. That's the one mocha frappa fucking chino. Like, can you afford that? Awesome. $7 a day, we take that at $50 a week. Great. So, oh, I can't afford $50 a week? You can. You just told me you can. It's $49 a week for a fucking latte a day. So you can afford it. Ready to give up the latte and stop drinking calories and start getting results and have a better fucking life? Is that worth? Is your latte worth more than your happiness? If answer yes, get the fuck out. If no, come on in and start joining RBT because that's the community we want. We want to change your life. That's sales scripting. Done.
100%, man. And look, like, we obviously do have a sales script. but it is like, and this is what we talked about, like, it's the confidence and it's the mindset and it's the mentality. And it's not just in sales, but it's with everything. Like, your mindset around lead generation. If you tried Facebook ads before and you're just like, oh, no, just Facebook ads don't work in my area. Like, oh, I've got like a really bad area. Guess what? That's your mindset that's creating that. Yes. And like, Because like we've proven that like every single, like we've yet to be like have a gym in an area around the world where we're like, oh, actually it doesn't work. Like we're yet to find one. Like after like how many hundreds of gyms, like it all works. It works every single time. And so like that's what it's about, guys. So if you want to change your mindset, if you want to help, if you want to be given a script, you want to get the exact lead generation strategy, sales strategies, go to fitproformula.com. Have a read about what we do, fill in the form, have a conversation with us. We'll tell you straight out whether we think we can grow your gym or not. Well, actually right now we're offering like a 30 client guarantee, which is pretty awesome. So we give you 30 new members. And if you don't get 30 new members for some reason, we've got the entire RBT team who generates leads and sales for RBT week in, week out will work for you for free to get that. So, hasn't happened yet. So, cause everyone gets results, but go to fitproformula.com, message the page, message Travis Jones on Instagram, whatever, we'll have a conversation. Anything else, Travis, before we go?
No, man, I just realized the whole time I was talking pretty much about state and story, right? That's why I really didn't talk about the strategy behind things. And, you know, because state and story is like 90%. The strategy is not irrelevant, okay? Because if you know that this strategy gets results, you know what happens to your state and your story? It's like, this person has a proven process. I'm going to grab that strategy, and your state and story might be low. It's like, oh, I can't do this. But then all of a sudden you get the strategy that I've used and you're like, I can do this. Your state changes. You become more positive. Your story is like, I'm fucking unstoppable, right? And then because of the strategy, it's like, bang, you got it done. But you might have tried sales in the past or Facebook ads in the past or leadership in the past, whatever it is, but your strategy was just incorrect. You just need to have but if you stay with the right state and you just keep going through strategy after strategy after strategy, you're going to get there in the end anyway. And a powerful state and a powerful story will overcome the odds when you need it in your favor. And that's it, guys.
It's exactly like your fitness clients, right? It's like they've tried all these bunch of different like programs and fitness programs, like, and it hasn't worked. Like the people that just go, oh, it doesn't work. Like, well, they're going to stay fat forever. You know, and like, to be honest, your health and fitness program probably isn't that much different to what they've tried in the past. But if they approach it with a new state and a new mentality, like, fuck, they'll get results. Are you going to be like your pain in the ass clients and go, oh, no, I've tried that, doesn't work? Or, you know, I've tried so many things and it doesn't work. Or are you going to be the client that goes, you know, I've tried all these things, but I think I can make it work with you because I've seen you get results and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get results.
Boom, drop the mic. All right, guys, that was another podcast. Tune in, go watch other podcasts. We talk about lots of stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It's pretty good. All right, guys.
If you're watching this, guys, leave some comments too. Probably subscribe to something as well.
Yeah, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or all those things. But yeah, guys, take it easy and talk soon. Trav.
Peace out.